Let's go to West Durham, ACC Network, where it's been an interesting last 24 to 48 hours in Louisville with Chris Mack. So I'm sure, Wes, you were in the same boat I was over the weekend when Malik Williams said that when he was asked a question about whether or not the coaching staff was getting through the team, or his message getting lost. I'm paraphrasing here, but he essentially was asking if the coaching staff can get through them. And he said, I don't want to answer that question. No comment right now. I knew right then and there it was a wrap. What I did not know was how quickly this was going to unfold, including another loss this week, another bad loss.
Well, I think it's culminated because of a couple things. And you're right. Normally, I don't think it would happen this fast. But when you don't have a president, you don't have an athletic director, the board of trustees can essentially do what they want to do. And you all, and we all know, and we talked about it this morning on the show, that, you know, Louisville, above all else, is a basketball program, right, athletically. Mm-hmm. And so when they want change, now that you don't have a Vince Tyre or a Nina Benapoundi as the president, if you're the board of trustees, you get a bunch of cats on a Zoom call and you can make a lot of things happen. And essentially, that boils down to what the University of Louisville is elected to do. I know they have an interim president. I know Josh Hurd's their interim athletics director. But essentially, they have put this together, and Chris Mack's no longer the basketball coach at a reported breakup price of about $12 million. Which apparently Louisville just has a money tree in the backyard somewhere and they go out and shake it to get the $12 million. And, you know, it may not be $12 million, but it's a negotiated price. And I bet if it's not the full 12, I bet it's pretty damn close.
This is a classic example, Wes, of a coach not fitting a program, right?
No question.
Because Chris Mack.
And it was supposed to be a home run hire, Julio. Yeah. That's the thing. Everybody thought it was a home run hire. And some of this is Chris Mack's fault, and some of this is lack of patience on Louisville's fault. You know, it really is. I mean, this one is a two-way street. This is not a one-way deal. Chris Mack did not handle the media well. I like Chris. The times I've been around him away from an interview, very, you know, enjoyable conversations, that kind of thing. The minute the microphones and the lights go on, he becomes something else. And if he's another head coach somewhere, he's going to have to work on it. The second part is this, too. The things that Chris Mack endured when he first got there, he then contributed to with some of the other stuff, and that made it an untenable situation, I think, once they started losing. By the way, it also helps too, Joe, that Mike Pegues went 5-1 as the interim in those first six games, I think, too.
I mean, he's 38-23 in ACC games.
Correct. That doesn't help either. I mean,
good.
It doesn't. Well, but it is good. But the bottom line, 2 years ago, before the pandemic hit, they were going to be a two seed nationally.
Right. Mm.
I mean, they were going to be a two seed 2 years ago. I mean, last night on Field of 68, they were talking about it, and I agree with it. I mean, 2 years ago, the pandemic, the two worst, they had two pauses last year. The first pause they came off of, they got smashed at Wisconsin. You guys remember the second time they came off pause, Carolina still beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things. He was never able to also – the Dino Gaudio thing, to me, just lit the fire, right? Then when they started this season and some of the other stuff happened and they started losing games, and then Malik Williams didn't help it at all, in my opinion. And you get a veteran kid like that say that?
Yeah,
and
that's
plus
the thing.
You've already got that 10% that wants somebody else coaching. You guys know that. You already have the 10, 15% that doesn't like you anyway. So
that's where I think things get interesting, because I think Chris Mack is another example of I think this is very unique to college basketball, where you can there are coaches that are meant to thrive at places like Xavier. There are coaches who are meant to thrive at places like Dayton, Archie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
And we think that these traits are transferable to a place where basketball is the thing, the only thing in town, not just something that you're proud of in the city. And when it's tournament time, you're really hoping that they can go on a nice run or whatever, or be under the radar, so to speak. When it's on you all the time and you got to play the game, do you have the temperament for such a thing? And based on everybody that I've talked to at Louisville, Chris Mack never had that temperament. in the same way that right. Archie Miller never had that temperament for Indiana. This is not about whether or not Archie Miller is a good basketball coach. It's whether mm-hmm. or not you have the temperament as a guy to be able to handle all the crap that comes with being the number one thing in town with a very unique college basketball fan base. And I think that's ultimately what got Chris Mack. And I don't blame Louisville fans for pointing out all the things Chris Mack didn't do in terms of playing the game that probably could have saved him a lot of – having the media explain your side of things is very, very helpful. And it's shocking to me that there are a lot of coaches who refuse to get that message. Chris Mack is one of those guys, because there could have been plenty of people at Louisville that could have helped craft it. Hey, look, you got the NCAA stuff. Louisville, Rick Pitino, and everything else. We don't have a president. We don't have an AD. There's all these factors that go into why things might not be working out right now. Let's wait for these things to fizzle out. He never did any of that to help himself out, and that's why he's here.
I'll give you an example. A name that's been mentioned for the Louisville job is a guy who is a media darling, okay? Mm-hmm. He also has a show cause. Bruce Pearl.
Yeah,
but Chris.
I mean,
to an extent, though, Wes. Chris Mack was a media darling. So was Archie Miller.
He was
national media. The national media embraced these guys as concepts. As concepts.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And to Joe's point, you can win a certain now. Xavier, find me a coach who hasn't won at Xavier. By the way.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the opposite of Duke football.
There's a lot of reasons you can win at Xavier.
No, but that's the opposite of Duke football. Anybody can go in there with a pulse and win, okay?
That's correct. Yep.
But my point would be to this. You won a certain way at Xavier with tough players who were there for a long time, who you developed and became mm-hmm. veteran teams. And you know what? Let's be honest. Archie Miller, Sean Miller, Chris Mack, all were darlings of the Gary Parishes and Jeff Goodmans and everyone else of national basketball and media, national media. They never right. got to the Final Four. Between the three of them, they have the same number of Final Fours that me, you, and Ovius have.
Well,
that's a standard in college basketball. I'm sorry, but that
right.
is a standard in college basketball. And yes, I'm still angry that these guys were propped up as potential replacements at Carolina, at Duke, at Louisville, at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay? You got to go out and do it before you get one of those jobs, or at least that had been the standard. And you know what he didn't do at Louisville? Sorry, Wes, but one more thing. You know what he didn't do at Louisville? He didn't develop anybody. He didn't get a team and try to win with a team. And the one guy he had for 4 years is up there saying, yeah, nobody's listening to this jabroni. But, I mean, that was basically his answer translated through the fans later.
But the other thing, too, is, Julio, he never calmed the waters.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, that's right. The other thing. You go in there and take over for Rick Pitino, and it's a mess, okay? Look at the thing Kevin Keats has done since taking the NC State job. And look at what Chris Mack's done since taking the Louisville job, and it's two different tracks altogether. Kevin Keats is kind of telling you as you go along what the situation is, right? And I know I'm speaking to the choir here, right?
Sure.
Kevin is trying to recruit. He's telling you as you go along, hey, look, guys, it's hard. We've got this NCAA cloud hanging over the top. Oh, by the way, you know, the two guys in the other subdivision next door are pretty good, you know, kind of deal. We're going to win as we can. We're going to keep developing. We're going to try to avoid injuries, X, Y, and Z. And I'm not saying Kevin's plan's perfect, but it's far more forthcoming and publicly friendly than what Chris Mack, great recruits are doing. He starts playing social media games with John Calipari. Next thing you know, he's standing on the curb today out there on Main Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The idea for me is this, and you're exactly right with the end of the list. I'll throw Anthony Grant on that list. You know,
a guy Shaka who Smart.
Had a big job and now is back coaching.
Shaka Smart's another list. Example of that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, Wes, to be perfectly
honest. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
There is nothing wrong with it, but at some point, you have to mature in this process, fair or not.
Sure. Wes Durham, ACC Network, joining us.
He failed to mature a little bit as the Louisville thing unfolded, knowing full well he wasn't going to be able to hit the 0-1 fastball out of the ballpark. Kind of play station to station in order to get them better. He just didn't do that.
But not having Trevor Keels does factor into what Duke is capable of, and they still found a way to tough one out against Clemson last night. Paolo Banchero did what you want out of your best players. Find a way, make big buckets, and that's what happened last night.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Banchero had to touch the ball, and that's a lesson learned and another page turned in the development of this team. I think talent-wise and potentially they are still the best team in the ACC, even though Florida State and Miami both have wins against Duke. I still believe the Blue Devils' long-term prospects is better than the other two. Doesn't mean that Florida State and Miami can't get there. Doesn't mean that, you know, on any given day something else can't happen. But I thought it was important that Banchero, and he hit tough shots last night late too. I thought Clemson guarded him well despite maybe not having the artillery to fire back equally. I thought it was a challenged play really both times. And Duke did the right thing. I mean, it's not hard to say, hey, number five in the white's probably the best player on the team, best player in the building. We probably ought to get in the ball. So it's a good win for Duke. The thing that I mentioned this morning on the show, I think Duke has, what, 8 road games, 4 home games left in conference play? That's a pretty that's a pretty strong mix. And those guys are going to have to be able to handle some of that. And there'll be some adversity certainly in those next 12 somewhere along the way too, I'm guessing.
I thought Duke's demeanor was the best positive in the end game situation. I thought they panicked at home against Miami. I thought down at Florida State, they played better, no doubt. But I thought they were still a little bit unsettled, if you will. I thought in this game, they felt like they were in control. They felt like they could get a stop. They felt like they could get a rebound. They felt like they could get a basket. They just, as Mike Krzyzewski pointed out after the FSU loss, our guys just haven't been in this situation, and the only way to learn from it is to be in it. And I thought that was the biggest positive, even without Trevor Keels.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think they're built certainly for the long haul, and last night was clearly a page turner. And, you know, we've got some games tonight where I think Miami has to handle the road at Virginia Tech the right way. I'm insanely intrigued by NC State's visit to Notre Dame. Because I think Notre Dame is starting to kind of turn that corner a little bit too. And then, you know, we'll see how the rest of this plays out. I think Florida State will beat Georgia Tech everywhere up and down the street if they want to, because Georgia Tech and Florida State's got, what, 4 7-footers? Georgia Tech can't put 3 forwards together and get 7 feet. So, I mean,
can we talk about one other thing that happened last night? Because it's like a little bit of a badge for me that we finally got Boeheim to just, you know, belittle us at the ACC tip-off. And I'm not suggesting that I thought they would be the second best team in the ACC this year because they can shoot.
So did Packer. You're on
they
that
can
list.
Shoot.
Go ahead.
This has to be crippling to a man with that ego. His 2 kids, and then Gerard's basically his 3rd son, and they're getting worked up and down like a rib the crappiest teams in the ACC. It's over. No, it's over now, Wes. I thought they'd be in the Final Four after they lost to Georgetown. I'm like, no. This is Boeheim playing possum. Classic Boeheim. I'm not falling for this one again, Jimmy B.
They're going to...
Buddy. They're not even going to have a winning record. And it's his kids. Like, this is Shakespearean. I mean, I know you can't answer it, but I imagine you're nodding along right now because the man's ego is gigantic. And he's out there going, I'm running this thing one time with my boys, and I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm going to beat Mikey. I'm going to beat all of them, and I'll laugh at all of you when I'm in the Final Four with my boys. And now you can't even beat Pitt? Buddy,
I got news.
What
for
are you doing?
Joe.
Yes, sir.
They're going to run it back.
Yeah, they're not.
I'm with Wes.
No, Joe.
What about Boeheim makes you think he's going to walk away from that?
Joe, you can.
I forgot they have 80 years of eligibility. I forgot.
They're going to. Buddy's coming back. Jimmy's got another year. Gerard will be
Gerard's
a senior.
Got 50 years left.
They're going to run it back. I'm telling you, they're going to run it back.
Man, where's Kadari now? How's he doing?
Where's the wackadoo trustee from Louisville when you need him?
Hey, jeez. I'm telling you, they're going to run it back. They're going to run it back. I thought about that last night watching frickin' Jamarius Burton get to the rim against the zone and thinking to myself, this is not over. Everybody's going to say this is over. This is you and Packer were riding the wave of the orange in like November.
Yeah, because they can shoot.
I kept thinking, if these cats don't hit shots, it's going to be a miserable existence. They didn't get a bench point last night. And here's what's worse. Pitt didn't get a bench point. Pitt had the guys with two double-doubles, not Syracuse. I mean, that's the thing. And here's the problem. They're going to have to figure out a way to fix it. Not this year, next year.
West Durham, ACC Network, brought to you by J.E. Womble and Son. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hey, Wes, happy birthday.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Well, 45?
Thank you very much. 56, and don't even be funny. by the way, Jillio, it's always great to be with you and Jovid. I mean, Jovid.
Oh, he just came up with that. You see what he did?
Are you coming back to work? Are you good? I have one question.
Yeah, man.
Have you been in the studio in 2022?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. I had the first week. But since January 7th, I have been home for a variety of reasons.
I know. It's
Jovid.
Been
and, he likes that.
Jovid.
No, I don't. I
Not
know.
You, him. Wes likes him. he had that one in his back pocket. Give him some credit, man. It's his birthday. Yesterday was his birthday.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm ready to bust out of here.
I know you are.
I actually used my last rapid test and I was still showing positive. So I was like, well, I'm not coming back early. but yeah, the plan is for me to come back into the studio on Monday. I feel fine. Okay. I feel fine. But as I say that, I have like phlegm. But anyway, I'll be back in the studio on Monday. We're good.
Let me say this. Some of the post-symptomatic stuff is a little annoying.
You don't say.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah.
I think the part that's been getting me is the fatigue of it. Although I seem to finally be getting over that, but we'll see. It surprises me. Right. It's kind of like Tom Brady being, you know, if Tom Brady's down 28-3 or 27-3, it's like, oh, is this happening again?
Whoa. Was that 28-3? Was that for me? Thank you. Appreciate that.
I have to get you back. Yeah, all right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Y'all be well. Take care. Thanks, guys.
You can't just Jovid me. And I can't get a little 28-3 in there for Wes.